Good morning. Welcome to Discovery Community Church. We're so glad that you're here. If you can, will you stand and worship with us? Hey, if your life's anything like mine, when you walked in today, there's a lot going on. Some of that is hard stuff. Some of that is great stuff. Some of that is stuff that's still a little cloudy. But how many of you know God is up to great things in our lives? And He wants something great for you. And it's not a thing out there. It's Him. It's His Son. So we're going to lift His name high. We're going to sing some songs for Jesus. Come on.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. What our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, You conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, oh God. Have done great things. We dance in our freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, Your name lifted high. Oh God, You have done great things. You've been faithful through every storm, and You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things, and I know You will do it again, for Your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things, God, You do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, You conquered the grave. You free break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in Your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, Your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things.
Hallelujah, God. Above it all, hallelujah, God, unshakable, hallelujah, You have done great things.
Come on, lift your voice.
Hallelujah, God, above it all, hallelujah, God, unshakable, hallelujah, You have done great things. You've done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, You conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in Your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, Your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great.
Hey, before you sit down, say hi. Say hi. Hi, Calvin. Hey, Bubba. I'm good, man. Hi, Brittany. I'm from a Baptist church, and this used to last about 15 minutes, so... All right. Welcome, everyone. My name's Jason. I am Director of Connections and Operations here. So nice to see you all. I feel like Clark Kent, really, without my reflective cape, you know. So anyway, glad to see you all here. All made it safely. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We would love to know that you were here and you can make your mark on today by filling out a connection card. It really is just our way of saying hi and praying for you, really. Like, there's the best part about the connection card is just the back where you get to let us know any sort of prayer requests that you have. We love to pray for you, and we do pray for you. There's a team of us that prays for you throughout the week. We do, and we love it. So, yeah, let us know. There'll be plenty of time to fill out that connection card and any information you'd like to give us. We won't sell it or give it out or anything. We just want to get to know you and connect with you. That's all. Today is a special Sunday. It is Grad Sunday. Woo! Recognizing our graduates, and my friend Chris is going to come and do that formally.
Thank you, Jason. I didn't recognize you without the vest, but it's good to see you here. If you are graduating, we would love to have you up here on stage. Actually, just right here in front. That is graduating from a vocational school. It could be graduating from college, high school, preschool, kindergarten, licenses, permits. Okay, accreditations, yes. Maybe there's a life moment and, you know, you've like graduated from Xbox to PlayStation. I don't know. I wouldn't do that either. But I actually kind of knew that there might not be anyone up here. But I did want to say that if you have a graduate, we have a little gift for them in the back where they can come find me. I'd also like to take a moment just to like thank all of you who, I didn't graduate either.
Yep.
All right, call him out. Oh, wow. How did he know? Thank you. Oh, hey. They do exist. Awesome. I'm going to assume that's not a preschool graduation or a driver's license graduation. Well, congratulations. I know you've been waiting for this gift for years. You'll get one in the back. Come see me. But we just want to lift up all the graduates that you know, or they're here, or they're not here. You guys played a role, whatever that may be. It might be a support, maybe it's a shoulder, maybe it's financially, whatever it may be. We just want to lift those students and people up to God. And we want to thank you for your participation in their lives. So let's keep that up. Let's pray. Dear Father, we are grateful for the graduates, Lord. We're grateful for the families that support all the countless hours, all the tears, the hard work that goes into accomplishing something that takes time. And we're grateful for that grit that you've given each one of them. Lord, we just thank you for our family that can support them. Thank you for this church that can also support them. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jason.
Of course, Chris, of course. Let's give Chris a hand, please. Thank you. So yeah, we are going to sing a little bit more. John is going to give, he's gonna give a little teaching time. We're gonna have a giving back to God time. We're gonna sing some more. You're gonna see me again, lucky you. And then you will be released for the rest of your Sunday. But as we've been doing for the last several weeks, we are sharing 25th anniversary reflection videos. Discovery is 25 years old this year, and we have been hearing from some of our current and past friends. And today is Rachel Robinson. So enjoy.
Rachel Robinson, and my family has been at Discovery for a little bit less than 18 years, and maybe you've seen my husband Alex serving in the toddler class. been in the youth for the last while, but over the years, just like anybody that's been at Discovery for a long time, we've served in like every different capacity. So leading small groups or leading short-term mission teams, on mission council, Levites, all different ways, and it's been a joy. But I remember when we first started going to Discovery, before we really knew anybody, I went to the church office to make photocopies, and I saw like a paper on the wall, and it was the division of responsibilities for keeping the church office clean among the staff that used it. And I noticed that Pastor John was on there for cleaning the toilets, or maybe it was the bathrooms, and that just like really said something to me as somebody who is new to the church about servant leadership. And I know that that's like a small story, but I think that that's something that I've seen over the years, that just like it kind of captures a bigger picture of what Discovery is, and kind of like the ethos of the church that comes down from the leadership of humility and generosity and servant leadership. Jonas and Avon and Maggie, they're 19, 17, and 14. And there comes a point when you realize that your children have grown up in this church. This is their experience of church and their experience of the body of Christ. And I wouldn't say like Discovery is perfect or has the corner on like how to do church, but I am so grateful that this is the community that my children have grown up in, and that this is their experience of what church is like and what it means to be part of the body of Christ. And yeah, it's a beautiful place full of like beautiful and perfect people. And thank you for being a part of that.
What an awesome reminder that you're in a place with imperfect people. So if you're imperfect, you belong here. If you can, will you stand and worship with us? Because we serve a God who doesn't define us by the bucket that we fit into. He doesn't define us by our political party. He doesn't define us by our background. He defines us by the blood of Jesus. That's who we are. Father, thank you for an opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. Will you change us, God, from the inside out? Will you make us into who you would like us to be? For your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome? Lost, but he brought me in all his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, he's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Thank you.
of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
I'm going to invite you to be seated for a moment. It is our habit during this time in the service to provide you a few moments of prayer. And some of us, when you walked in this morning, you've walked in off a great week. It's been an awesome week. You have much to be grateful for. And so I'm going to encourage you to use this time as a time of thanksgiving. As you're bowing your head this morning, you might say, God, I don't think I've stopped and said thank you. Some of us here this morning have walked in off a tough week. These guys up here singing these songs, and they look so happy, and they look like they got their stuff together, and you're like, I don't know that I could do that. So you might have some things to talk to God about. Like, God, I'm frustrated. I'm hurting. And then some of us in this room, in all honesty, when I talk about talking to God, that's a foreign concept. You hear because somebody invited you, somebody challenged you, or there's just something inside that you're like, I want to give this a shot, but God feels distant. And so I'd encourage you during these couple minutes of stillness, you might just be real honest. You could say something as simple as this. God, I feel far away. I don't know if you could speak to somebody like me. So I'm just going to invite you right now just to bow with me. Let the music play for just a minute and talk to God. No games this morning. On a mask. You don't have to pretend anything. Thank you for a few moments this morning. Sing and to be reminded. That no matter what I feel, I am a child of God. Sometimes I can feel distant and I can feel alone, forgotten. But what is true is that I am a child of God. I've broken things, and things have been broken in me, but I am still a child of God. Father, in the next few moments, as we continue worship by opening your word, I'm asking in Jesus' name that you speak to each and every one of us. Bring out the better things that you have designed us for. In Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Jason mentioned earlier about our connection cards, and we really would like you to use those. So please don't hesitate, even during the time, this teaching time, to have a pen out and a paper, take some notes. If you have some things that you want people praying with you on, take that little card out, and you can say something as simple as "Pray for me this week," and you don't have to go into all of it. You know, we'll just have some people praying for you. If you have some specifics, it helps. We like to pray specifically, so you could write some specifics down there if you'd like. And like Jason said, we're not going to sell your information. We're not going to misuse it. We just want to be in your team in whatever way you'd let us be. And your team. So Anyway, thanks for coming to Discovery. If this is your first time with us, we meet in a cafeteria, and we do that on purpose. I'm looking, I have some tea here. We do that on purpose, and this is part of who we are as a church. And I know that it's not for everybody, but there's some things that we love about this. We love being in our community. We love being in Lincoln District. And we intentionally meet in here because we want to be a family. Today we're going to kind of be talking about some of that and how that works in 2026. So our series is called Real ID. We're talking about who we are as people. We're talking about why we are and how we should live. And this comes from the book of Hebrews. We're doing several teaching series out of the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. So if you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to open to the book of Hebrews. If you don't have a Bible, there's always some in the back right next to Dennis. I think there's three sitting there. So you're welcome to snag a Bible and take it with you. We want to run out. You can also use your phone. This is 2026. There's like 400 versions of the Bible on your phone. You could have it like that. So we encourage you to have your phone out. I'm actually going to be showing you a lot of scripture this morning. That's why I encourage you to take some notes. I'm going to go kind of fast, and I want you to see really the breadth of scripture and what God has to say about what we're talking about. Now, every week we review stuff. So we review Sunday mornings every week. We have team leaders that review, like, how did setup go and how did tear down go? How bad did the bathroom stink? So we do all that every week, and there's some things that we're some things that are getting better, some things that get better slowly. And by the way, your input is really helpful. Last week we took a survey. We were talking about, and we're praying about, should we have another service? We try to make decisions together as a church. So I just want to affirm your input is so valuable. We want to make decisions together. So we do a lot of reviewing around here, and one of the things that we review is my teaching. So there's not a big team that does this. There's a small team that reviews my teaching every week. The team meets at my house. It's usually just my wife and myself. And last week we had a great service. Anybody here last week? It was so fun. It was a family service. The place was just packed. We had kids. I love kids in the room. Some people I know it stresses them out. Maybe I just love stress. I don't know. So I loved it. It was just a ton of fun. But when we got home, after a really great day, I walked in. I don't know if you ever do this, but I walked into my house a little, like my chest was out a little bit. And I just walked in like this. What'd you think of Sunday? And my wife, she said, I'm going to get really close to it. She said, you know what? The content of everything you shared was so good. I loved it. It was meaningful. But then she said these words, but you really blew it. I was like, my shoulders went down a little bit. And so I was like, what? She said, you had all the kids in there, and you were talking about this stuff from the book of Hebrews, and you missed a golden opportunity. So I haven't walked through this with her, but mostly for her and maybe for you, we're going to go back and do a little bit of a do-over, okay? Just the beginning, and we're going to see if we can do it right this time, okay? Tracy, I didn't prep you for this, but a lot of this is really for you this morning. So, and I'm hoping that when I walk in this afternoon, it's just a different greeting, okay? So last week, you guys know in the book of Hebrews, so the book of Hebrews talks about who Jesus is, and the book of Hebrews then talks about who we are, and it reminds us that we are the Imago Dei, the image bearers of God. And then last week I said, in the New Testament, there's a Greek word that's recorded 13 times in the New Testament, and 12 of the 13 times it's in the book of Hebrews. And this Greek word is translated into the English phrase, better things. And so the book of Hebrews is not just about who Jesus is and who we are, but the book of Hebrews is there to remind us that God's design for you and for me is for better things, for us to grow up and into God's design. And so last week I talked about metamorphosis. And so here we go, Tracy. Tracy thought that we missed out. We should have had some show and tell. She said he had all the kids, and we should have had some show and tell. And I wish I would have had this chrysalis. And so today you get to have a little show and tell. Last week we talked about better things. God's design for you and for me is that we all are transformed. The book of Romans says, do not be conformed into this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you may prove what the will of God is good, pleasing, and perfect will. So you are an image bearer of God, but you also have a unique and specific design. And God wants and expects you to grow up into that design, to go through a metamorphosis. You know, what you're seeing here is you're seeing a monarch caterpillar. And a monarch caterpillar gets to this stage. It works around in the dirt and it nibbles on leaves, but eventually creates a chrysalis. And it looks like nothing's happening in the chrysalis, but inside the chrysalis, what's happening? Anybody? Butterfly. It's becoming a monarch butterfly. I mean, God's design, God's the created design for this monarch caterpillar is for it to crawl around in the dirt, all those little tiny feet. God's unique design for this monarch caterpillar is for it to eat leaves and nibble around, but eventually God's design for the monarch caterpillar is for it to form a chrysalis, and inside this chrysalis to go through a complete and utter transformation. And God's design for the monarch caterpillar is for it one day to, three letters. Everybody say it again? God's design is for it to fly. Now, Tracy's like, last week you should have had this here. And she's right. I mean, isn't that a great picture? Isn't it amazing? But it does have a significant flaw. And here's the significant flaw in this picture, all right? The significant flaw is that when you and I see this, we think, oh, magically, I'll go through some hard thing in my life, and magically, on my own, I will bust out, get some wings, and fly. And that's a great mistake. Let me tell you a little bit about the monarch butterfly. The monarch butterfly is considered an endangered species. Some of you are probably aware of this. There are much, much fewer monarch butterflies today than ever before. Now, I'm not an expert in monarch butterflies. I'm just going to share with you some of my research, okay? So scientists say that what has impacted the monarch butterfly has been climate change. It has been loss of habitat. It's things like herbicides and pesticides. But the single greatest impact in monarch butterflies is that in the wild, 1% of monarch caterpillars ever fly. Some scientists say it's as much as 10% in the wild. That means between 90 and 99% of monarch caterpillars designed by their creator to fly never make it to maturity and fly. In recent years, there has been a kind of a little movement of people who want to see the monarch butterfly come back. And so there is this grassroots campaign of people all over who have decided that they are going to raise monarch butterflies at home. And they've discovered that just with some of the most simple tools, nearly everybody, a child, can create an environment for a monarch caterpillar to become a butterfly. And they've discovered that in these environments, 90% of monarch caterpillars fly. They fly because they don't do it alone. We live with this dangerous idea that my spiritual growth, my spiritual health, God's better things is something that I can figure out by myself. When in fact, doing life by yourself, navigating this crisis, this season, this place, this moment in life by yourself right now, is actually clipping your wings. It's disabling God's better things for your life. You and I, as human beings, have been designed by the living God. Listen carefully, have been designed by the living God to live life in community. Last week in the book of Hebrews, I had us read two chapters, Hebrews 5 and 6. Today, this morning, I want us to read just two verses in Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, I want you to read this with me, verses 24 and 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Verse 25. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. You and I, I've repeated every week, we are image bearers of God. We're the reflection of God. We're a mirror image of God. And to be clear, God is a God of love. The core quality of God is love. And love cannot exist in isolation. Amen? Like, love, the quality of love, cannot exist outside of community. This is why God himself eternally exists in community. Now, God has no need. God doesn't need anything. He doesn't have want for anything. But God chooses to live in community eternally. In John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus is trying to help you and I understand God. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, I and the Father are, what's the word up there? One. Jesus says, I want you to know, eternally, we have God exists in community. I find this notable that in the very opening chapter of the Bible, it describes the creation of the universe, these beautiful 7 days. And on the sixth day, just before God's going to create the pinnacle of creation, which is what? What's the pinnacle? What's the last thing he creates? Us, right? Just before he creates human beings, in Genesis 1:26, listen to the introduction to this great moment. Genesis 1:26, it says, God said, let's read it out loud, everybody, together. Let's read it. Ready? Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. God exists in community, eternally. Isn't that cool that before God even creates human beings, he says, hey, by the way, I'm community. I live in community. The first negative in the Bible. By the way, after on day six, God creates Adam, and when he created light, he said, let there be light, and there was light. And then, anybody remember in Genesis 1, what does it say next? It was what? Good, it was good. And then God, and the next time he creates like water and land, the separation, and God says, it's what? It's good. And he creates the platypus, and he says, it's good. He creates Mount Rainier and says, it's good. So everything he creates, he says it's good. The end of day six, he creates Adam, and he says it's what? Very good. You're an image bearer, God. God loves you, by the way. I know you struggle to love yourself, but I want you to know God so deeply loves you. God has a string of all these positive things, and he places Adam in the garden. And in Genesis 2, we have the very first negative. God is watching Adam, and in Genesis 2, he says, it is not good for man to be alone. Designed you, God says, for community, to know and to be known. I've designed this for you, and when you live in isolation, you clip the wings. The better things that God has designed you for are prohibited. I'm going to read some other scriptures. I just want you to see all through scripture that I'm not making this up, I'm not stretching it. I just want you to see The night before Jesus was led away to his execution, he was praying in the garden in John 17. As he was praying, he was sweating drops of what? Blood. There's an intensity to his prayer, right? And John 17 records the prayer. The whole chapter records Jesus' prayer. And let's just read a portion of it. Jesus is praying to God. He says, my prayer, God, is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. So who's he praying for, by the way? Yeah, he's praying for me, he's praying for you in the garden. That is so cool. Verse 21 says, I pray, watch this, that all of them may be, what's the word up there? Everybody, what's the word? One. Father, I'm praying that just as you and I are in, that you are in me and I am in you, that we're in this tight community. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me. For this purpose, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete, what's the word up there? Unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me. God's design for you and for me is to do life together. 1 John 4 says, whoever claims to love God but hates a brother or sister is a liar. And whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. I know when you saw the word hate, when I saw the word hate, I'm like, oh, I'm good. I'm so glad he said hate, because you know what? I don't hate anybody. I'm good here. But if that's how you approach this, then you missed it. Because 1 John 4 is not just saying, hey, don't hate people. 1 John 4 is saying, be in loving relationships, close relationships. Be in community with people. If you're not in community with people, how on earth can you possibly be in community with the Father? It doesn't happen. You've been designed by God for community. Now, how do we live that in 2026? Is it just being nice to the lady at Safeway? That's pretty good, Alicia. Alicia's saying put our phones down and have some conversation. I'm with you. Yeah? That's not one of my points, but you guys could put that down in your notes. Okay? So Jesus has given us a way to live out community. I'm going to take you there for a minute. In Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, Jesus says, I tell you, you're Peter, on this rock I'll build my, you guys see it? I tell you that you're Peter, and on this rock I'll build my what? Church, and the gates of Hades or gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus says, I'm building something. There's something I'm doing. You ever want to know what God's doing right now? You want to know, like, hey, what is your will? God's will He's building his church, his family, a family on mission. That's what Jesus is doing right now. And he's, that's what Hebrews 10, by the way, when it says, don't give up meeting together. Okay, you know what it's talking about here? It's talking about this thing that Jesus launched in Matthew 16. Already in the first century, the writer of Hebrews is like, man, how weird it is. We have this habit, you catch that? The habit of not meeting together. We have this habit of moving away from community towards isolation. But let's get back to what it is Jesus is doing. He is building his church, and it's time for us to be about the thing that Jesus is building. Man, in 2026, we need the church. And I don't mean that we need a great program on Sunday mornings. We have made some mistakes when it comes to church. Listen, by the way, I want to tell you, there's some things I love. I really love driving on I-5 South, you know, coming back from Seattle. I love coming by the T-Dome and then looking to my right. And I love seeing that spire. Anybody? There's no church there anymore. But I do love the spire. I love going past that and coming around the bend and starting to move south and go right by the mall. And I love a big sign up in the sky that reminds me that Jesus loves us. I love that. I think that's amazing. But I just want to remind us today that a church is not a building under a spire or under a sign. A church isn't a Sunday morning experience for an hour and 15 if he would preach that short, right? So the church isn't an event. It's not a building. The church is a community of men and women who have been saved and redeemed by Jesus and are choosing to build belonging together. And listen, if you and I, and I think we share this, if you and I want a church for our city, for this generation and for the next generation, then we have to build belonging. And so for the next couple of minutes, I want to talk about how to do that in 2026. I'm going to share with you four things that we do to build belonging. And this is what we do that helps us and what we do that builds a community of belonging in our city. Number one, we make space. Bruce, I'm going to borrow your chair for a minute. We'll put it back. So I think of it as the four legs on a stool or a chair. Like, how are we going to build this place of belonging? The first leg on this stool is we've got to make space. I'll read it again from Hebrews. Chapter 10, verse 25. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Isn't it weird that 2,000 years ago that they were struggling to have space to hang out with people? And what I think is even weirder is that it's 2026 and everything around us, I mean really everything around your life and mine is meant to give us more time. I've lived in this city my entire adult life. I know where to get to everywhere. I know almost every road. But when I get in my car, you know what I do? I pull my phone out. By the way, I did it this morning coming to Lincoln High School. I've done it 1,000 times. And you know, I open it up and I say, Siri, Lincoln High School. And you know what Siri does? She gives me 3 options. Are you guys tracking with me? And you know the option, I don't ever pick the one that's like, you know, I don't know, scenic option or like, you know, no highways. You know the one I pick every time? Fastest. I want to go fastest. I want to get there fast. I want Siri to save me time. I want to get there before everybody else. In fact, sometimes I play little games. Like I do it, I did it at Fred Meyer this weekend. I get in line and I'm like, huh, red shirt, gray hat, let's see. Like, I want to get through the line fastest. In fact, I fill my phone with all these apps that are designed to make my life more efficient, to get there faster, to build it faster, to eat it faster. Isn't it weird? It's so strange. Like in 2026, I mean, back in the time of Hebrews, if you wanted to have bread, you had to get the wheat. You had to beat the wheat. You had to turn it into flour. You had to knead it, sit there and wait for it. If I want bread today, do you know what I have to do? I go like 8 blocks down the street to Safeway. I walk in, I get my bag, and I walk back home, right? It's so dirt easy, but what's so weird is with all the stuff that's meant to make our life better, faster, cheaper, easier, we have less time today for the most important things. We struggle with margin. And friends, there is not going to be a community of faith, a place of belonging, unless you and I make space for the most important things. That's why I think Jesus was talking about in a really famous verse in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he said this, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You know, I think Jesus is doing here is he's saying, you have to make the decision what the big dog deals are going to be in your life. It takes a lot of energy to go to a small group at the end of a long day and a busy week. It takes a lot of like discipline to say, my kids are crying, we just got in a fight, but dang it, we're gonna go to church. You and I get to make the decisions. Are we going to make space for the most important things in our life? And if we want community, we want to live in community, we want there to be a community of faith here, then we have to build it by making space. Here's the second thing that this requires, the second leg on the stool. So one is making space. The second one is that we have to take risks. Hebrews 10 says it in a really positive way. It says, spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Isn't that good? But you know what that means. You know the writer of Hebrews is saying, your average person hates love and good deeds. We have this thing called sin. And we're a mess. And so it's risky to do life with messy people, amen? Why is it, what's the risk if I do life with a messy person? What's the risk? They're going to make me messy. It's going to hurt. But if community is going to happen, if you're going to be in community, I'm going to be in community, we got to take risks to get to know messy people and for messy people to get to know this messy person. It's risky, amen? Like, what if I find out that they think different than me? What if I'm in small group and I find out that they have a completely different perspective of life and world than me? What if they don't love the things I love? What if they don't walk the way I walk? What if they don't like the food that I like? What happens? And so it seems safer to just keep people at a distance when God is inviting you to get messy with messy people. 1 Corinthians 12 says, there should be no division in the body. The parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. You are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. You're needed at the table. And they're needed in your life. Amen? Even people so different than you, they are needed at the table, and they are needed in your life. Galatians 6:2, we read this last week. It says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. And in this way what does it mean by carry each other's burdens? It means like when they're going through a hard time, you're like, hey, how can we help? It also means when they're a butthead, I live grace with them. When they're difficult, when they're hard, I'm going to give grace to them because you know what? I'm difficult. I have a distorted vision of the world. I have a distorted vision of God, and I need people to show me grace and pour into my life as well. Does that make sense? Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens. It's not just meaning like, hey, sign up for the meal train. It means I'm going to do life with my brother and sister that are so different than me. And friends, we take risks with that. Community requires making space. Number two, taking risks. Number three, we must take ownership. Verse 24, it says, and let us consider. I want to be really clear. Community is never something that somebody else provides for you. It's something that we build together. We have distorted the church to be about professionals. We look for churches that got a professional speaker and professional boards and professional staff that are going to put on a professional program, and we hang in there until they do something stupid and then act so surprised that they blew it. But I want you to know the New Testament never calls the professionals to do the church. The New Testament invites us to be the church. I want to be clear, the New Testament does talk about leadership positions in the church, but it's so interesting that when it talks about leadership positions in the church in the New Testament, it's always to help the church be the church. This won't be on your screen, but in Ephesians chapter 4, maybe one of the parts in the New Testament where it talks most specifically about roles. It talks about pastors and leaders and prophets and et cetera. But it says this is their job, to equip the body for works of service. The church is us. It's not a handful of professionals. And I think one of the great pains and problems in 2026 America is that we have relegated the church to the professionals. If there's going to be a church in Tacoma that reflects the heart of God, it's going to be because we own this call together. Romans 12:5 says, in Christ we, though many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. It's us, man. If there's going to be a community of faith that you are going to enjoy and that I'm going to enjoy and that our city will be transformed by, it will be because a handful of us own it. Last one, number four. This community of faith has to create room for more. I'm going to take you just briefly to Luke chapter 14. It's a beautiful parable that Jesus tells. I'm not going to go through the whole parable right now, but I just want you to hear a little snippet of it. In Luke 14, Jesus says, the master told a servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. And God aches, and he longs for his church to be a place of belonging, certainly for you. But if it's a place of belonging for you, and it's a place of belonging for me, by definition, it must be a place of belonging for them. As Jesus' people, we are called to not separate God's commission that He wants to reach the entire nations from this beautiful thing called the church. A minute ago, I talked about Matthew 16, where Jesus launched the church. Remember, we read it. I'll see if I can do it from memory just right. He says, "And Peter, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." The next verse says something that you wouldn't expect. Because this is what I would like the next verse to say. The gates of hell will not prevail against it, and you're going to love it. It's going to be so good. There's going to be potlucks. Occasionally, there's going to be Jell-O salad, corn on the cob. People are going to bring chicken. You're going to love it. There's going to be music, fun music. People are going to sing. Well, maybe there'll be some drums. It's going to be so good for you. You're going to find your bestie. Most of us live like that is the next verse. I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And enjoy it. It's all for you. But that's not the next verse. Let's think about this. Like, Jesus is launching this place of belonging, his church. And he says, gates of hell will not prevail against it. And let's look at the very next verse. Can we pull it up here? And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Like embedded in the foundation, the launching of his mission is, I'm launching my church. It's a place of belonging. It's a family on mission. By the way, while you are enjoying this, I want you to know that you get to invite people in or you get to lock people out. But I'm inviting you to unlock the kingdom for people. Always keep room for people. If there is going to be a place of belonging, a church, it's going to require that we take these four things. We got to make space. And I want us to go back again to this. God's design for you is the better things. Right now, you might be in a chrysalis. It's this hard place and you're struggling and you're not sure that anything good is happening. God wants to use this season to grow you. What we can learn from the chrysalis, this monarch butterfly, is that you can struggle on your own and you have about a 1% chance of flying. But if you do it in community, you have a 90% chance of watching the mission and beauty of God spring forth in your life. But it's going to take something in 2026. It's going to take carving out time. I mean, there's no simpler way to say it than this. You got to show up. You got to be there. Like, relationships, building relationships with people is hard. Amen? Can everybody say amen to that? It's hard. It's hard. But step one is you got to show up. Step two is that you got to be willing to take the risk with people. And I want you to know, this room, by the way, is filled with some of the most amazing people I know. There's heroes of faith in this room. But they're not perfect. They've got bumps and bruises, and they think different. That's so good. This could be risky. We're going to have to take ownership. We're going to have to stop waiting for somebody to provide us the spiritual community that we want, and we're going to have to make it happen. Some of you this fall, by the way, this is a plug, this fall, some of you should start a small group. You should open up your living room. Yeah, there you go. I wouldn't plan on that, but I like the clap. But you know, I mean, in reality, some of us are just waiting for, a bunch of us waiting on the sideline. We're waiting for somebody, the right person to invite us in. And maybe you should be inviting somebody in. We got to take ownership. We got to take ownership of this space. What's Discovery Community Church going to be like? Are we waiting for John, Pastor John, to get his crap together? We'll be waiting a long time. Or are we going to say, man, this is our church? And are we going to open up our doors and our arms and our homes to the next person? If we would do that, Jesus promises that he'll build something in our lives and in this world. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for a few minutes this morning. The writer of Hebrews, in such an anointed way, says that there's this habit to move towards isolation. It happened in the early church 2,000 years ago, and it happens today. Some of us, it's an ongoing addiction. It's a failure. It's an embarrassment. And it just feels safer to push people away. For some of us, it's just this craving and this longing for more, and the pace of life that has picked up, and things that I want, and I diminish my value and significance, and we've stopped showing up. There's real anxiety, Father, that we wrestle with. I know that there are men and women that it's not just the nervousness of meeting someone new, but it's this whole space, it drives anxiety. And so when I talk about risk, I know there's a different level of risk for everybody in this room, and I'm praying by the power of your Spirit that you would help some of us overcome those very paralyzing fears. God, I pray you'd stir ownership. And I ask that this church should be a place. It's not just putting on a program and introducing people to Jesus and the gospel. But this would be a family that is eager, desperately eager for one more at the table. Jesus, you promised in what we read today that it is not us that builds the church. It's not us that even breaks the wings out of the chrysalis. It is you, your power alone. But you're inviting us to submit to and surrender to community. God, in the weeks to come, I think that there's going to be some men and women in this room that make some significant steps towards surrendering to community. And I ask in Jesus' name that as they do that, that you would break some hard shells. And God, I pray as some men and women in this room take some steps toward community, take those risks, I pray that God, some wings would come out. And I pray that some men and women who've been walking around in the muck, gnawing on leaves, I pray in Jesus' name that they would begin to fly. Not by our power, but only by the power of Jesus' name. I want to give you just a moment. If this morning God has spoken to you, let's not go anywhere else until you make a decision. Friend, you might be here this morning just to hear that you need Jesus. The New Testament tells us whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved right now in this moment. I want to encourage you, this is not, none of this is about getting better or working harder. And Jesus right now is knocking on the door of your heart and life. And he's waiting for you to say, Jesus, will you come in? Right now in these cafeteria seats, you could say, Jesus, will you come in? He'll save you. Would you do that? Jesus, will you come in? Some of us in the room this morning, you've asked, Jesus lives vibrantly inside of you. And this morning, some things have become clear. You've been pushing away community. You've been missing out. You've been stunting the growth, clipping the wings. You can say, take one of those four things and say, Jesus, I'm going to carve out space. I'm going to take some risks. I'm going to take ownership. Whatever it is God's speaking to you, take a minute right now. Song of worship, but just before that, some friends of mine are going to pass some baskets. This is what we call our giving back to God time. When we talked about connection cards, we would love for you to drop the connection cards in. Some people are going to use this as a moment to give financially to God's ministry. You can do that. If you're a guest with us, honestly, we ask you don't put any dollars in there. This becomes your church home. We live generously here. So if this becomes your church home, then you can be a part of that. Right now, what we'd love for you to do is just give that card. And then after the baskets come by, the team's going to invite you to sing a song. And then Jason's going to come back up here, and I think that's what we got. So anyway, thanks for sharing your Sunday morning with us.
Be lifted high.
let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified on the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. Yeah. I won't bow to idols. I'll stand strong and worship you. And if it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice cause you're there too. I won't be formed by feelings. I'll hold fast to what is true. And if the Christ brings transformation, I'll be crucified with you. Cause death is just the doorway into resurrection life. If I join you in your sufferings, then I'll join you when you rise. And when you return in glory with all the angels and the saints, my heart will still be singing, my song will be the same. Oh, Christ be magnified, let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified on the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified. Let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. And oh, Christ be magnified on the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. Yeah. Be magnified.
Amen. Hey. Sit, stand, you choose. There's going to be a couple minutes. Thank you so much for joining us. We love you all, and we love seeing you, so thanks for being here. So the service portion of church is done, but there's still so much more church that we get to do here, and it is that way, and it's that way, and it's that way, and it's everything that happens when we wrap up here, because it's still Sunday, and we're still churching. So... anyway, please enjoy some snacks and just some time to just chat and catch up with each other. I'm going to hug Pete, probably. I haven't seen him really at all. Hi, Pete. Coming right for you. A couple of reminders. Baptisms are coming up at the end of the month, June 28th. If you would like to be baptized, I guess you can let me know at this point. Just come up to me. Let's make eye contact. Say, I would like to be baptized. We'll probably hug, and I will write your name on a list. And otherwise, is there a QR code on the... You could also do that. Thank you, Michelle. You could also do that. And some of you are going to want to head to All In, which is going to be down the hallway at room 224. Thanks so much for being here. Love you all. Have a good Sunday.
Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things.
You've done great things.
Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. You've done great things. You've done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, You conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things. You have done great things. Oh God, you do great.